Hey everyone, Donovan Brown here. Welcome to the DevOps for ASP.NET Developer Series. In this episode, we're going to focus on continuous integration. Continuous integration is the act upon every commit the code is downloaded, compiled, tested, and packaged for deployment. Using Azure Pipelines, you can create CI for any language. Let's see how Abel and Jeremy enable CI for their project.
So far, we've covered quite a bit. We've talked about sort of the overview of what's available. You showed me how to get code into source control and what the options are, and we went through work items.
Yes.
Now, the next step that we're going to drill into is pretty exciting to me because this is something that, in my history as a developer, in the old days, we used to have to build our software on our machine, kind of stage it, move it to another machine, or set up a build machine. Get all the installation and references and dependencies set up on that machine, and then we'd build that, and then we'd take it, and it still would have issues, right, on the production machine. Now, I understand that if I want a clean build process, that I can use Azure Pipelines to do that, and it's not just take this project and build it, but there are steps and customizations and other pieces to that. So I'm really excited to dig into what's available.
Cool, man. So Azure Pipelines, inside of Azure Pipelines, you have the ability to create build and release pipelines.
Okay.
So today we'll just look at how you create build pipelines.
All right.
So let's go ahead and create a brand new one completely from scratch. And we'll create a new build pipeline. And first it's going to ask me, where is your code sitting? Is it in Azure repos or is it in GitHub? Because remember when we talked about source control, GitHub, first class citizen.
Right. Right.
The thing is, it doesn't have to just be inside of Azure repos. It can be in a lot of other places as well. So this right here is just a wizard that kind of quickly walks you through how to do things. So if you want to do everything manually, you would just go ahead and say use the visual editor.
Okay.
So for this demo, we'll just go ahead and use the wizard.
Okay.
So my code is sitting in my Azure repos, and I only have one, which is DevOps for ASP.NET Core application. And notice it analyzed my repo, right? So because it analyzed it, it figured out, okay, this is an ASP.NET Core application. And now it's offered me a couple templates that make sense. So I'm going to go ahead and choose ASP.NET Core because I know that's what I have. And then based on that pipeline, it's going to create for me a YAML-based pipeline that looks like this, right? And we can go ahead and save it and run it. And hooray for that.
And now we're done?
Now we're done. It's created a build based off of YAML.
Right? Okay.
Now, remember I talked about the visual editor earlier, right? If you want to do everything in a manual way, you can use the visual editor. So the way that a build works in Azure Pipelines is it's basically a task runner, where it does one task after another task after another task after another task.
Okay.
And the way that you would customize it is by adding and removing different types of tasks. So a lot of people ask, okay, now that we have these YAML-based builds, they're super cool, but is that a whole new build system from the old way that we used to do things, which is the visual editor?
Right.
And the answer is no, it's actually the exact same build.
It's engine. It's like a preference between right-click or going to the command line. It's two different looks at the same thing.
Yes.
So what I change visually will be reflected in the YAML. But the nice thing about the YAML is that we can share that.
Yes.
And check that into source code itself, right? So we can reuse build workflows that we create.
YAML freaking rocks, right, for your build and your release pipelines. And just like you said, yes, you can share it. The thing that I love the most is you take this YAML file, it automatically gets checked into your repo right alongside your source code, right? The cool thing about that now is that your build pipeline, how it's configured, is now versioned right alongside your code.
So this means if I fork something that you've published to GitHub, for example, and I want to check it in on my own infrastructure and use that,
yep.
I can check it in on my side and create that same build pipeline.
You have the very same build pipeline that I'm using.
Nice.
And it's the coolest thing is you can go into my repo, my GitHub repo, or my Azure pipeline or Azure repos repo, and you can find any point in time. Do a get from that point in time, and it will have my build YAML file, right? So that will be that build for that particular
project. Right. So as you add new components or projects and extend your build out, if you have to, that gets versioned right along with the code.
Yes. Yes. So it's very, very exciting stuff. But a lot of times people tell me, well, trying to work in YAML is a little bit confusing. I don't know what the parameters are.
Right. You have to hit the space bar the exact number of times.
Because it's YAML, right?
It's YAML.
Be careful. Don't tab or you know, all hell's going to break loose. Yeah. So some of the things that I like to do is I like to start from my visual editor because it's visual. It's very easy to
see.
Right, so let me show you what I mean. I can start from my visual editor, and then from there, go and create a YAML build. So this is a build that I created last time, and we'll go ahead and edit it. And you'll be able to see that this is a visual editor with one task after another, and I might have to do your trick of scrolling it the right way.
Clockwise mouse.
There you go.
Works every time.
All right, so as you can see, it does one task after another, after another, after another. So what am I doing? I'm literally saying install Bower, run Bower, let's scan my code using white source, let's use .NET Core, do a restore, run my unit tests, go ahead and publish my test results. And since I'm using ARM templates, let's go ahead and copy those ARM templates as part of my build artifact as well. So now this build is going to kick off, it's going to run through all those tasks. And when it's done, in my build artifacts, it's going to store for me the zip file of my website, right, in binary form, ready to be deployed. And it will also have my ARM templates ready to be deployed.
So you have the infrastructure to run the code package with the code itself.
Yep.
Nice.
Each one of these tasks, there are parameters that you need to fill in. Right? So install Bower, right, the working folder, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? So you would need to come in here and just configure it however you need to.
So if I were, for example, using a global .NET Core tool that for some reason I wanted to run as a step in my process, I could easily come in here for the arguments on the command line and say .NET, run this tool. These are the arguments to pass.
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you need to customize it, go ahead and add and remove your tasks. So if I click on the little plus next to the agent job, it will show me all the tasks that I have installed. So out of the box, there are hundreds of tasks for all sorts of languages, all sorts of platforms that you can just start using.
Wow, and these are even tasks that work with, looks like, third-party build systems and...
Absolutely.
It's not just limited to the Azure ecosystem, in other words.
Yes, so I know this is a .NET show, and I'm a huge fan of .NET, but this build and release system literally doesn't care. Any language targeting any platform.
Well, I think a lot of .NET developers are building web applications, right? So they've run into the fact that some of the web front ends require Node, for example. So being able to have all pieces of that build orchestrated together is important.
Yeah. Any language, any platform. Now, if you want to do something that doesn't exist out of the box, I think we come up with a little bit over 100 tasks, go ahead and jump into the marketplace. And inside the marketplace, our partners have created, last time I checked, it was over 500 build and release tasks. There could be even more now.
Wow.
You can just download them and start using it. And if it doesn't exist in the marketplace and it doesn't come out of the box, you can write your own custom tasks. Custom tasks, I say this all the time, it's Node.js or it's PowerShell, which means if you can do it from the command line, you can get this.
You can do it here.
Yeah. Yep. Or if you call a REST API that does something, right, you can make this build system do whatever you need it to do.
Very nice.
Yeah. The other thing is you can have your own build machine if you want, or you can use our hosted agents where we provide build machines for you up in the cloud. We have, out of the box, we have a couple different types of build agents that they can use. They can have Linux agents, Mac agents, and also, of course, Windows agents.
Okay.
So we're the only cloud vendor that will give you all three OSs. So no matter what type of app you're building, for whatever type of platform, you can use our hosted agents.
So I see there's a hosted Visual Studio 2017 and a hosted Windows container.
Yep.
What would I use the Windows container for? Is that if I have specific dependencies I want to install on that container versus the host image, or how does that work?
Yeah, so every single type of agent that we have, every hosted agent that we have, it's once again, well, it's in docs.microsoft.com, and I'll provide the URL later. We provide a list of all the software that's installed on that particular hosted agent.
Okay.
So depending on what type of stuff you need, you can choose different types of agents.
And we can also have our own install steps in the build. So if we're starting with an agent that doesn't have a dependency, we can install that, right? So NuGet packages, if
yes.
it's .NET, Node packages,
Node if packages, it's Node. NPM, whatever. Yep,
great.
Yep, you absolutely can.
Okay.
There are some software that absolutely requires you to click through, right, a UI or something like that.
Sure.
And or you need special elevated privileges or whatever. That if that's the case, then you're going to have to create your own agent, your own private agent. So creating a private agent is super, super easy to do. All you do is download the agent, run a script, and voila.
And you're done, yeah.
It's literally that simple. It's ridiculously simple to do.
So if I have a completely custom build machine, for example, I could create a virtual machine, or potentially I might even still have one of those old physical servers
mm-hmm.
in my
your
office,
desk.
Right?
Yep.
And you know what better use for that than as a build machine? So install the agent on it.
Yep.
Even if I'm behind my corporate firewall, it, as I understand it, reaches out to Azure DevOps. It's not like there's an incoming connection that I need to open up ports or anything for, and it'll just run as is.
Yeah. So you make a really, really good point here, which is sometimes people don't want the builds to occur in the cloud, right? They want to have everything behind their firewall. And they always ask, hey, can I still use Azure Pipelines? And the answer is yes. You'll have to create your own custom build agent, your own agent, and your agent has to sit behind your firewall.
Right.
Like you said, nobody's going drilling into your firewall, but that agent does need to be able to reach out and ping Azure Pipelines.
Right. Yep. Very good.
So super powerful, super easy to use. Some other things that I wanted to show you, though, is once you create your build using the Visual Editor, it sure would be nice if we can just say, give me the YAML for this, right?
Right.
And of course, you can by clicking on
View YAML.
And then from here, you'll be able to find all of the YAML that you can just go ahead and copy and then paste it directly into your YAML file, check it in, and right for that, you're done.
Nice.
You can even drill down to the individual steps and view the YAML for the individual steps as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So a lot of times if I already have a YAML file and I just want to do something quick and dirty, but I can't remember what the parameter names are, I just throw it on the Visual Editor, find it, copy, paste it, and right for that, I'm done.
Right. So I could potentially fill out pretty much every parameter that's available, grab the YAML and see what the options are, and just edit that.
Yep. Yep.
Nice.
Yep. Some other things that I wanted to show you. You can have multiple agents, right? So right now we have one agent, but there's nothing stopping me from saying, you know what, let's go ahead and add another agent job. And now I can have another agent, and this time instead of a Windows machine, let's go ahead and use a Mac. Right, and then I can start adding my tasks.
This is nice, and we looked at a more complicated pipeline before that was building, I believe, on Mac to publish to the App Store. For iOS, and then also on a Windows machine, and then also on a Linux machine.
Yeah, so you can make these builds be as simple or as complex as you need to. When I say complex, just like you said, we can have one build that builds like, you know, like 40 different microservices on 3 different operating systems. This build can do whatever you need it to.
So I did notice you have this step here, publish test results. I know that's important for looking at the health of the build. We want to be able to run automated tests, but this will actually publish the results so they're integrated into my build dashboard.
Right.
And
right,
I can do that from .NET Core. I can do that from JavaScript testing. I just have to publish a special format, right?
Yes. So this is for all the unit tests inside of your project. So let's go ahead and grab a build that actually succeeded. And we can go into the summary. And just like you said, you can see all the tests that were run, which ones have passed, which ones have failed. This is just a little demo project, so I just threw together a couple of different tests. But if you go into the test tab itself, you'll be able to see in detail everything that's happened, right? So let's go ahead and pull this up. And once again, this is showing all my failed results. Let's do passed. And then you'll be able to see all of my unit tests that were run.
I like the badge that you get when everything succeeds, though.
Yeah. That's customizable, too.
Nice.
So once again, you can drill into the individual tests. I wish I had a failed one here, because the nice thing, if you can find the test that failed, you can find the error message in the stack trace. You can see which work item it's attached to and things like that as well.
Now, can you have it auto-generate bugs if a test fails?
I know if a build fails, you can tell it to auto-generate the bug. I don't know if you can get the unit test to automatically create a bug for you. I don't think so, but I could be totally wrong.
But we will get a bug on bug failure. Someone can monitor that, go in, find out what's wrong, and issue the appropriate request.
All right. So we covered builds. We've covered builds is just basically a task runner. We've covered that the YAML builds are super cool, and they're not that daunting, because you can just use the visual editor and then copy and paste, right?
Right.
Some other things that I wanted to point out is inside of VS Code, we have, let me see if I can actually demo this. Let me do, open up code really quickly. I have an extension installed. I don't think I have it installed on this machine, though. Anyway, there is an extension that you can go ahead and download that is called, I think, Azure Pipelines extension, that will give you IntelliSense for your YAML files.
Okay.
So that becomes super, super powerful, because now, instead of just guessing, you get IntelliSense, you get the little squigglies, you get autocomplete. So it makes the whole YAML editing process much, much nicer.
Now, is this IntelliSense for the YAML structure and format, or it actually understands some of the steps and can give you autocomplete for options for the steps?
It understands the steps and the autocompletion
nice.
For the steps as well.
Right. Very
so cool. It's real IntelliSense.
You know, we used to talk about how Visual Studio and Visual Studio Code was an IDE versus an editor. I'll tell you what, with these extensions, though, Visual Studio Code can do quite a bit.
VS Code rocks, right? It does everything that you need it to do and nothing more. That's what I love about it. So I can install whatever extensions I need, and everything else I can just leave it out.
Nice.
Of course, I'm a huge fan of Visual Studio as well, because I do so much stuff in .NET, but it's VS Code freaking rocks. The last thing that I wanted to show you is that there are a whole bunch of different ways that you can scaffold out these builds for a project. Because this right here, what I've just shown you so far for the build, is still kind of a pain in the butt, right? If I'm a developer, whether a .NET developer, Python developer, or whatever, I don't want to build these pipelines out, right?
No.
I'd rather have someone else build it for me, and then I just check in my code and have all the magic happen, and the build magically appears and releases, right?
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. So there is a tool using Yeoman that Donovan Brown created called YoTeam. And it is a scaffolding application for Azure Pipelines. So let me show you what that looks like.
Okay.
All right. So let me go ahead and change up the screen res so everybody can actually see things a little bit easier. Let's do like 20 font. All right.
Boom.
All right. So I can do something like YoTeam, because I've already installed Yeoman. And once I do that, it's going to ask me, which instance of Azure Pipelines do you want to connect to?
Let me take a quick step back. For .NET developers who might not be familiar with Yeoman, is that just a package that I install to get up and running?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just an npm package that you install. And if you Google Yeoman, you'll find the instructions.
You'll get step by step, pull it down. And it's designed for generating templates for different types of projects.
Yeah, it's basically a scaffolding tool.
Okay.
Right.
Awesome.
So in this case, it's going to scaffold a full CI/CD pipeline for me in the language that I want to use.
Okay.
So I just typed YoTeam, and it's going to say, hey, which account do you want to connect to? And I'm going to connect to my Azure DevOps Demo A, because I've already done this before. Since I've done this before, it's also asking me for my personal access token, which is great, because I have no idea what it is. So I'm going to have to copy and paste it. And now it's going to show me all of the agents that I have, right? So since let's build a .NET Core application.
Sure.
Let's go ahead and use our hosted VS2017 agent.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and select that. Now it's going to ask us, what type of application do you want to create? A .NET Core, .NET Framework, Node, Java, or a PowerShell module. So of course, we're going to build a .NET Core. I'll select that. And what is your name of your application? We'll call this Test App 2. Hit Enter. What do you want to deploy this to?
Nice.
I want to deploy this to Azure App Service. Okay, hit enter. Now it's getting all of my subscriptions, and I have
too many.
Yeah,
you have two subscriptions. Too many.
I have way too many subscriptions. But let me go ahead and use my demo subscription. And we'll go ahead and create.
And for those new to Azure, the subscription is where we send the bill, basically.
Right.
So it's what would be set up for the umbrella of your Azure account.
Yeah. Yep. So I walk through the wizard, and now it's creating for me a sample app in the language that I picked. Right. So the sample app is going to be a .NET Core sample app. And it's also creating for me, within my team project, everything that I need, right? So including my build and my release pipeline. And once again, it's going to create a build and release pipeline that makes sense for the technologies that I picked when I walked through the wizard.
Okay. Yeah.
So once this is all done, what I'm going to have is I'm going to have, on my hard drive, I'm going to have source code for my sample app. And all I'll need to do is take that sample app and go ahead and push that back into the repo.
And then I can just start customizing it, load my own code into it.
So like it says, now all you have to do is push when you're ready. So let's go ahead and take a look at this, CD test app 2.
And when you say push when you're ready, pushing your code into the repo isn't just going to put your code in the repo. It's going to use that build definition and build it.
Yes. It's going to push it into the repo, and it's going to kick off a build. Then it's going to release the app all the way out into
So it's
Azure.
Creating the actual Azure resources that are needed to host it as well.
Everything. So we start from nothing, right? So let's go ahead and push this so we can see what happens.
Okay.
So hooray for that. We've just pushed our code. And let's jump into Azure DevOps and see what's going on. So we'll go ahead and look for test app 2. We'll jump in there. And once we jump in here, let's go ahead and look at the repos. Because here, you can see we have our sample code, including ARM templates.
Huh.
And let's go ahead and jump into our builds.
And this will create the correct ARM templates based on what you selected. So if I say Kubernetes, for example, it's going to scaffold out the resources for a cluster, the resources to build a Docker image.
Everything that you need. Right. So now it creates for me my build template. And it's going to kick off the build in a little bit. It's going to send it through the build. After it builds, it'll send it through the release pipeline. So here's the release pipeline. And this release pipeline is kind of cool because this is a real release pipeline, where I have my dev environment, a QA environment, and a production environment. And so then it releases it through the dev QA all the way out to production.
So just from that one git push, after everything builds, deploys, and is released, I can navigate to my app and see it up and running.
You can see it up and running. If we wait just like 10 more minutes, it
right,
will all
exactly.
be
it's got
done.
A
So of course, the million-dollar question is, this is great. It's all scaffolded out for me. How do I get my code in there?
Right.
So easy enough, we can go jump into, let's go into the repos. This, remember, is just a Git repo. So I can easily clone it onto my hard drive. Well, it's actually already cloned on my hard drive. Delete all the files on here, except for the template folder, because I want to keep those. That's my ARM templates. And then just copy my code directly in there, upload it, and pray for that I'm done.
Nice.
Another way that you can do this, I love showing this, because it just shows how versatile this whole system is. If I look at my build, one of the first things that I do inside of my build is I get my sources.
And then you can change where you get your sources
from. I can change
from.
Where I'm getting my sources. So if it's from GitHub, I can just go ahead and choose GitHub. So as a dev, you no longer have that excuse of, oh, it's such a pain to like create a CI/CD pipeline. Guess what? You can scaffold it out. And how long did it take me to scaffold it out? Maybe a minute?
Yeah, it was less than a minute, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I mean, most of it was us talking, looking at the options
right.
on the screen. So.
Right. So I understand that right-click and publishing is so convenient. And I use it all the time, too, especially when I'm just starting out and I want to make sure my app is working. But as soon as I'm ready to check that code into source control, I go ahead and use Yoteam. I scaffold out a whole pipeline, because then it's ready to go, right? And as soon as someone else joins the team, guess what? The pipeline's already there. All we're doing is just checking code in and out. And it'll automatically get built, Tests will be run, binaries will be get picked up and deployed from dev, QA, all the way out into our production environment.
You know, this is one of the issues with having been a developer for as long as I have, because it's almost painful to hear that what used to take us weeks of blood, sweat, and tears to get done can now literally be done in seconds. What an amazing time to be a developer.
In seconds. I used to be a consultant when my whole job was to go to companies and they would pay me ridiculous amounts of dollars to create these build pipelines for them. And now, a couple seconds and you're done.
And I did make a joke about subscriptions being where to send the bill, but I'm going to reemphasize all of this free.
Yes. All of this is free.
Wow.
So good stuff, good stuff. I really love this build system for the simple fact because it's so customizable and so flexible where you can make it do whatever you need to.
Right. Well, I like the fact that I'm able to add steps, remove steps, use build agents, and pretty much control my universe from a few simple commands or screens or parameters in a YAML file, and then it's all created for me. Yeah. Pretty powerful.
So just remember, any language, any platform, I know we just showed .NET today because this is on .NET, but any language, any platform, Python, Node, Java, it literally doesn't matter. We can go, we can build anything, any language, any platform, in front of your firewall or behind your firewall. So all you devs out there, once again, go to dev.azure.com and start building out your pipelines.